Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 67th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Excited about this episode, we're going to take you across the globe with special guests from Canada. Also, we'll have a special guest calling in from Norway and, well, also from Texas. So there we go. We got the whole globe covered with that. Special guests in this episode include our good friend Brandon Lang. He's got the podcast, the Sports Betting Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Also, BrandonLang.com. We'll talk to him about the NFL and NCAA games coming up over the weekend. We'll also talk with Michael Costa. You know him as a correspondent on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. He's got a one-hour comedy special that's going to premiere Friday on Comedy Central. We'll also visit with Norwegian artist, country artist, Daniel Borge. We'll talk about his new single, Room 208, and he'll even perform a single coming up next year. Jason Michael of the Texas country group New Elm stops by. He's going to share about the band in 2020 and maybe even play something for us. And our final guest is our good friend Aaron Goodfin. He came and played a show live for us a couple months ago. We'll talk about not only what's going on throughout the holidays, but a new release that we should expect come spring of 2021. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and of course, share with your friends. Our first guest is our weekly pick predictor. We've got our good friend Brandon Lang. We'll be talking NFL and college football for the weekend. Brandon, always good to visit with you, my friend.
What's up, buddy? Holidays are here, so it's a couple weeks away from Christmas, so it's always nice to try to make people some Christmas money. So that's a good thing. You got the Big 12 championship game, which is in your neck of woods, is all set up. Oklahoma and Iowa State, rematch of Iowa State's earlier win this year. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's you go into a weekend of football like this, you have all these championship games set in place, so it doesn't matter what these teams do this weekend, they're already playing in the Big 12 championship game. So it's a weird dynamic from the standpoint of some of these teams that are playing in their Big 12 are playing in their championship game. Some of them can't make the playoff. So they really have nothing to play for this week, knowing they've already locked up the championship game. So it's a weird week. You know, normally the only game in town this week is Army Navy, and then you have a couple Division II playoff games. That's the way this week has always been. With this COVID and the way they did the season, we got a full slate this week. But I will say this, I say it every year, but I'll say it again. I came on your show last year, and I should have you file this away. I should have you put this in a saved file so I can come back to it next year and say it again. So what I'm about to say, I want you to save this. Put it somewhere, this clip right here, where you can find it. And then next year, I'm going to ask you, go get that clip. Last year, Army-Navy went under the posted total for the 14th straight year. For your listeners, I'm going to say it again. This year, Army-Navy will go under the posted total for the 15th straight year. Play Army Navy under. Okay, there's your clip. Put that away, and we'll have it for next year.
There we go. We'll put that. We'll dig it up and put that one down in the ground. We'll go dig it back up again next year.
So the Big 12, right in your neck of the woods, Oklahoma State laying 5.5 at Baylor. Oklahoma State laying 5.5. Baylor showed some fight last week at Oklahoma. Didn't lay down. Oklahoma State, disappointing season. There was a chance there for a minute. They had the Big 12 championship game. Some things had to happen for them. That's gone by the wayside. You got to wonder where Mike Gundy and the COVID and where this team is at mentally. I think this game goes right down to the wire. You lose the way they lost to TCU in a game that they probably should have won. and now laying 5.5. I think this is Baylor's bowl game, and I think they play tough. Baylor plus the 5.5. I think Oklahoma with the revenge matchup in the Big 12 championship game against Iowa State, they're laying 14 at West Virginia. This is a West Virginia team that got beat up a little bit at Iowa State last week, but at home this year, they have not lost. They've won every home game this year. I have to question where Oklahoma is going to dig down deep to try to get it done here. West Virginia plus 14 to hang around and give Oklahoma everything they can handle. Also in your neck of the woods, Rice at home plus 7 against UAB. Rice just went to Marshall, 23.5 point road underdog. They shut out the ranked Marshall Thundering Herd 20-0. This is the best team he's had at Rice. 18 starters back from last year. Senior laden team, 2-2. This is their season. Last home game, Rice plus 7 over UAB. Let's move to the NFL. I'm sure everybody in your neck of the woods is worried about what my opinion is of the Dallas Cowboys. I will just tell you this: the Cincinnati Bengals, the last 4 weeks, have had to play 4 top 10 defenses in the NFL. 2 of those defenses are in the top 5. The Bengals have just played the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, the Washington Redskins defense, the New York Giants defense, which went to Seattle and abused Russell Wilson, and the Miami Dolphins defense. Pittsburgh, Washington, Giants, Miami. So you've just gone through that murder's row of defenses, and now who do you get on Sunday at home? The Dallas Cowboy defense. That's like you've had 4 dates in a row with some pretty good-looking girls. You've had 4 dates in a row with some pretty good-looking girls. Okay, some really good looking girls. And then your mom sets you up with a girl that's in a weight loss center, and she needs to lose a little bit of weight. And that's kind of the Dallas Cowboys are that defense that needs to lose a little bit of weight because they stink. Cincinnati plus 3.5 gets you some of the Cincinnati Bengals. Miami at home plus 7 over the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs have a game next week against an opponent that's pretty good. That opponent is the New Orleans Saints. Big, important game for them. Could be a Super Bowl preview, Super Bowl matchup, little look-ahead factor. Miami, think about this. You ready for this? Quietly, Brian Flores, the Miami Dolphins. Listen to how much money they've made, people. They've covered 7 of their last 8, 9 of their last 11, and 18 of their last 24 on the board, and they're 13-5 as an underdog in their last 18. Give me the Miami Dolphins plus 7.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs. And last but not least, I said it on your show last week. I'll say it on your show this week. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go into Buffalo and get their butt handed to them. Take Buffalo minus the 2.5.
There you have it. And, of course, for more information, you can visit the website, BrandonLang.com, and of course, the adult-rated podcast as well. When's the next episode coming, Brandon?
We're going to drop it tomorrow. And like we always say, under 18 must be accompanied by parent or guardian. So let's make sure we get that, what do they call it, disclaimer out there. Let's make sure we get that disclaimer out there.
That's right. Well, Brandon, always great to visit with you, my friend. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Thanks, brother.
Up next is comedian and also correspondent on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Michael Costa, got a 1-hour special that's going to premiere Friday on Comedy Central. First off, Michael, great to visit with you again.
Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. We're still in quarantine, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we all are doing things a bit different. And Michael, putting out, getting your first 1-hour special, obviously the promotion, obviously it looks a little different in 2020, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I have to admit, you know, there's some nice things about quarantine. I get to, you know, do this whole radio tour in my pajamas if you need that visual. But look, I miss people. We're if anything we've learned from this, we are social beings. I miss the energy of people. I miss collaborating with people, and it's just not the same doing it over video.
And to put a smile on somebody's face, I was going to say earlier, you know, with people, the levity that's in the world right now, it makes it easy to keep them laughing. But do you think it makes it more of a challenge to get folks laughing at what's going on in the world?
I think you're right in that, look, every comic needs tension. I need some pressure, so therefore I can release that pressure. I can release that tension. People are and will be very welcomed to a good laugh. I laughed yesterday very hard, and it felt like I had just taken a vacation, you know? The one thing that might be challenging for people initially upon watching my special is there's some big crowds. People are sitting close to each other. This was filmed pre-pandemic. But I'm hoping once you settle in and get over that, that, look, a good laugh is a good laugh, and I'm trying to take you on a journey and a one-hour vacation away from the thickness that is 2020.
Now, Michael, when you first watched the footage that is the one-hour special coming up, how did it make you feel? Did it kind of put those put that spirit back in your heart, that boost in your step a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, for one, as a stand-up comic, you dream about having a one-hour special, so to actually see it is very exciting. You know, then there's the strangeness that is. It feels like a generation ago because it was only a year ago that we filmed this, but so much has changed. That being said, there's a joke that I do on this special about how if we don't start washing our hands, we're going to all die from an infectious disease. I mean, when I saw that joke, I said, oh my God, it was almost like I was a truth sayer. So the good news is no matter a good joke, a well-performed joke, it doesn't matter when it's released. It will make people laugh, and I'm confident that that's the case here.
And Michael, I know that some of the talk throughout the year has been the difficulty of comics being judged about everything. Has that loosened up? Has that talk kind of been pushed away, or anything been done on that side?
That's a great instinct, and I have that feeling that will happen as well. I think with Trump leaving office, it's going to take some time, but people will be a little less on the defense. And that comes from both sides. I think there's people feeling like they have to defend themselves and defend themselves aggressively right now. There's been a lot of division in this country. And one thing that is a bonus about my special, and I didn't necessarily plan on this, was I start in the middle of the country, then I go to the coast, then I go back to the middle of the country, then I go to the coast, and I finish back in the middle of the country. I don't want to sound like Joe Biden here, but I really feel like my comedy is unifying both the coast and the middle of the country. And I think as the temperaments calm down, some of the cancel culture, some of the PC sensitivity, I think that will calm down as well.
So Michael, you're really what 2020 needed. Why didn't you tell us this back in March?
Look, I've been emailing President-elect Joe Biden, but no one ever responds to me.
That's awesome. Now, Michael, what is your holiday season look like this year, 2020 style?
It's strange. You know, I'm in Brooklyn, New York. New York has certainly been in the headlines over COVID-19. I had Thanksgiving plans. I was going to fly home to Michigan and see everybody, but I canceled. The numbers in Michigan were bad. We were advised to not travel. So I'm trying to do, and I know this might be scary for some Americans, I'm trying to follow the guidelines of the CDC. I'm trying to learn about the pandemic of 1918, because we're basically just reliving that pandemic 100 years later. And when people do the right things and everyone gets on the same page, we can end this thing and open the country back up.
That's right. And again, the new special, Michael Costa, Detroit, New York, L.A. premieres tomorrow night, 11 Eastern, 10 local time on Comedy Central. And Michael, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where to keep up with all your shenanigans online as well.
It's just at michaelcosta.com or Instagram and Twitter at Michael Costa. I really appreciate it. I'm very proud of this special, and I hope everybody tunes in.
All right. Well, Michael, always great to visit with you. Hope you have a happy holiday season, and look forward to catching up in the new year.
Thank you so much.
our next guest on the podcast. You're going to get introduced to him as I get introduced to him. And it's a long distance Zoom visit today. Daniel Borge on the line. Yep. And I'm going to try my best with that. And first off, Daniel, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now being in Norway, where did the love of country music come for you? Who was the country inspiration for you?
I think I have to say church. Mm-hmm. Because I usually say that I grew up in church because I literally grew up in church. We actually lived in the church. So I did grow up there. And you know, the songs they sing in church is like the old country songs. So I think that was the first times I got introduced to country music. And then after that, I think the first one, like, modern country music artist I heard was Garth Brooks. And he sang Sometimes Late at Night. And I never heard anything like that. So I fell in love with it.
That's awesome. Now, music in your life, was were you trained instrumentally and vocally growing up, or was it something you found later in life?
I started playing the guitar when I was 5 years old. So I was kind of like a miracle kid. You know, everybody, oh my God, the guitar was bigger than I was. So it was kind of like crazy. But as I grew up, I started singing a lot more. And as I said before, it was a lot to sing and play in the church. So I guess that's where I got the training.
Now, as far as songwriting, when did you write your first song? And are you still proud of that first song that you wrote?
I think the first song I wrote, I think I was in high school, and I think it's okay for the first song. I don't think I'm ever going to record it, but yeah, I think it was high school. But I started writing back then, but I didn't know how big songwriting was until I visited Nashville, actually.
Now, what was the culture like going from growing up in Norway, your first time getting to Nashville? I mean, I know what Nashville's like, but I wonder what it's like coming from home for you the first time.
First time I came to Nashville, I felt like I came home for the first time. The thing in Nashville, everything is about the music, the mm-hmm. songwriting, and the love of music, and it has the effect that it makes you believe in yourself, because you hear about the success stories, and you see how much people work for the music, and that was the thing that got me inspired to start with music full time.
And the debut single that you've had here stateside, Room 208, and tell us about the single, and also about working with Brad Hill producing with you.
Brad Hill is amazing. He's just great. I sent over the demos, like my ideas, and every time I get them back, it's so good, and it's kind of like he understand my thoughts on it, and then he just take it to the next level. The Room 208 was inspired because I was in Nashville and I came late to the hotel one night, and I was talking to a guy, and he was drunk. You could see he had a rough life, you know, he was sitting outside and depressed, and I started talking to him, and he think it was cool that I was from Norway, and I said it's so cool that he lived in Nashville because I want to live there. And he said that he wanted to switch places with me. He said, you can come to Nashville and I go to Norway, because he didn't like Nashville. And I thought, I was like so surprised when I heard that, because I thought everybody loved Nashville. And then I had this thought that we was staying in a hotel. All the rooms are almost the same, but there are so many different people moving in and out of these rooms. with different stories in their lives. And that's where I got the idea for the song. And this guy, he told me a similar story that I'm singing of in the song. So it's almost a true story with a... I have to say almost. It's not quite all the way true, but...
Now, what is the inspiration for songs? Where is it that you know when you hear something? How is it that you the first twinge of inspiration for a song comes for you?
It's different things. It's it can be a hook of a song. It can be like one of the songs that I haven't recorded yet, but it's a good example. It's like I was thinking all the time that I wanted to do a song about time, because there are you come to stages in life where you might regret things you've done in the past. And while I was thinking about this, I just thought, what if time was a man that you could talk to about his hands? You know, because you can turn the hands of time. You know, mm-hmm. So that was a kind of a cool line in a song, so that was the inspiration for that song. And other times I can just kind of see the whole story in my mind, and then I write it down, and then the hook comes as I'm writing.
Now, what's the hardest part of the writing process for you?
I think is as I said earlier, that when you have the story, you kind of like see the story in your mind. And when you're trying to write it down, you just can't find the words to describe what you're seeing. And that's how I'm writing. I want to write the songs in a way that people see what they hear, if you know what I mean. They use their mind, and I kind of painting a picture in their mind. At least that's what I'm trying to do.
that's what a successful write is, right?
Yeah, that's right. So when people tell me, like, I kind of seeing what you're saying, then I think, yes, I did it. So.
did my job. That's right.
Yes.
Now I know that you're prepared to do do something acoustic for us today. I'm always excited to hear somebody play and sing for us. And what do you have in mind for us today?
Well, I think I just go with the song I just was just talking about, the time song. It hasn't been released. It's I'm planning on releasing it in March next year. So you will be one of the first that will hear this song, acoustic.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I use this microphone, but I hope the sound is okay, because I haven't set it up like real good, but I think you can hear it.
Yeah, we'll be good. We'll be good.
Okay. I'll try my best. I just need my guitar.
That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I have my son is playing the guitar, and I guess he borrowed it, so it wasn't where it's supposed to be. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine.
So this is a song called If Time Was a Man. Have you ever been driving by yourself through a wood? Stopped at the sight to think of all the things you'd change if you could. Slamming your fist on the hood. Just staring at your bright clean cult with a tear in your eye. Wishing you could turn back time, but you know big boys don't cry. Now you know that just a lie. If only time was a man, you could talk to about his hands. I move those hands back before goodbye, back to when everything was right. I heard them saying, I believe time can heal everything. It can change the speed of the running sand. If that time was a man, It's too late when it's too late. Don't look back on your past. You never thought of the meaning before too late. It's exactly where you're at. Then it hits you just like that. If only time was a man, you could talk to about his hand. And move those hands back before goodbye, back to when everything was right. I heard them saying, I believe time can heal everything. It could change the speed of the running sand. If God was a man, ain't it funny how time flies by when you're having a blast? But it slowly moves when your heart gets shattered like glass. And you think you never pass. If only time was a man, you could talk to about his hand. And move those hands back before goodbye, back to when everything was right. I heard them saying, I believe time can heal everything. It can change the speed of the running sand. If time was a man. If time was a man.
I like
there
it.
There is.
I like it. I like
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, Daniel, who has, once you decided, what was the aha moment with that you knew that music was what you wanted to strive to do?
That moment came to me in Nashville. I was visiting a bar where a good friend of mine was singing. Her name is Kinsey Rose. She is an artist in Nashville. And she asked me if I wanted to come up on stage to do a song. And I actually said no three times because there are so many talented people there. And I was thinking, I have nothing on that stage to do. That's what I thought. But I went up there and I sang Old Habits Like You with Hank Williams. And when I was finished, I wanted to hear one more song. And then I sang You Look So Good in Love with George Jones. And when I went off the stage, a guy called Tony Olsen, he's a songwriter, he approached me together with a producer named Dave DeMay. And that's where it all started, because they wanted to work with me. He had a few songs that he wanted me to do. And I was first thought this was like just people talking. But then they stayed in touch, and 7 months later, I went back to Nashville and we recorded 4 songs.
Wow.
So it kind of just like happened like a dream, you know, like the movies, the American dream. So it's like a really cool story, and I'm so glad it happened, because I don't think I ever start with music full time if that hadn't happened.
Now, what's it like doing from Norway to Nashville, and the commuting? Well, obviously this year it's Zoom commuting. What have you had to learn different now in 2020?
Because of the Corona situation, I had to learn a lot more on the computer. I had to learn how to use the Zoom, and the thing is, it's quite easy, and I think. I'd be lucky in the way that I send the demos to my producer, Brad Hill, which he's amazing. And then I record the songs in my own studio, the vocals. In that way, I can stay in a room like 3 days and just sing and sing and sing until I get it perfect. Because if I were to be in the studio in Nashville, I think the nerves and thinking about all the talented legends that have been in the studio, so over there, could be too overwhelming for me. So I had this opportunity to sing and sing and sing in the studio. And I heard that people think I sound like American when they hear the songs. I'm so happy about that, because that's what I'm trying to do as far as it's I can. And that's because I could stay in the room, you know, in my studio. And really working on every word of the song.
Now, what's the hardest word for? What was the hardest word for you to get a grasp on?
I still haven't got the grasp on that word. It's literally, you know, it's so hard to say.
I understand. That's awesome. I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No problem. I try to use it all the time, but you know, every time I know I got to use it, I don't want to, so I just say a lot of words to don't need to use it. So.
Use whatever you can to avoid it.
Yes, that's true.
Well, if folks want to find more information about the latest single, the upcoming single, and everything else that that you've got going on, Daniel, what's the best way for folks to keep up with you?
Instagram is where I'm most active, and Facebook, and it's Daniel Borch. It's DanielBorge. I think, and then it's music, and that's where you can find me. And also on the Aristo PR, they have their pages. So if you search for that in Twitter, Spotify, all the major streaming platforms, Instagram, Facebook, I'm everywhere. So if they want to hear me, they will find me.
There you
and
go.
Please, if they can, please follow me on Spotify. That means the world if they can.
Okay. All right. Well, Daniel Borge, it has been great to visit with you. And I do have to throw this in before we get off the air. I don't know if you know what DXing is as far as radio waves and stuff like that. Do you know what that term is?
No.
Well, it apparently is where you get skip off of radio waves, and there's folks all over the world that DX, and they try to pick up radio stations from a far distance. And Our farthest reach that we've ever recorded on our station was in Oslo, Norway. So our station, KWHW, has been picked up in Oslo, Norway. So so now we've got a Norway on our airwaves too. So it's a proud moment for us all.
I'm so proud to get to be on your station. And right now you are on this huge wide screen in my living room. So you can say you've been to Norway right now.
There you go. And I was having to watch myself because when you were playing, the reflection of my head was on your guitar. So I was watching myself. I was like, I can't mouth off while he's singing because it'll show on the screen. So yeah. Well, Daniel, it's been great to have you on the show. Continued success. Success to you, and hopefully next year we can catch up again in 2021.
Hopefully we can, and maybe we can see each other somewhere. Because next year I'm going to be in the U.S. for sure.
All right. Well, Daniel, thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Our next guest on the podcast today, the band is New Elam. His name is Jason Michael. Did I do that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I said it, and then I was like, wait a second. Jason Michael, and Jason, I got your name right at least. Good to visit with you, my friend.
Yeah, you too, Cameron. Thanks for having me today.
Now, 2020, the Zoom has become one of the official go phrases, I think. Everybody's Zooming everything this year. And how prolific have you gotten with technology this year?
Zoom, I'm so-so. You know, I had my camera sideways when we started. So, I'm getting there. I just got a new computer, so I've switched platforms from Samsung Samsung to Apple. So I'm learning that.
Oh, you converted to the dark side, did you?
I did. I had to. I was sick of trying to like have to just completely transfer files to all the guys I play with and I'm recording with. And it's just better to go with them, right?
I know, right? That's right. Well, Jason, give us a little insight into how you guys got together, where the relationships had built to bring you guys together in the first place.
Well, myself and John Mesh, he's the producer and he plays guitar in the band. We've known each other for quite some time. We were friends in Los Angeles. We both lived there at the same time in different projects, and we kind of met and hung out. And I migrated back to Texas in 2004 and him probably 2008 or 2009. And, you know, we started talking about recording and, you know, like everything, we're all doing different things. And it wasn't until early 2019 I was trying to do another solo project. and I wanted to record with him. So we started recording, and his wife started singing with us, Sabrina Mesh. She's this other singer in the band. Yep. And just some great musicians who were all friends of ours, and it just morphed into more of a project, you know. And just so, I mean, just as we started releasing stuff, COVID happened. So we've never really even played. So we're really excited to get out there.
And how has that just made the energy? Is it making it harder to keep it pent up, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's made us really, you know, it's made me write a lot and try to release music, you know, at least be, I mean, it's forced us to be a recording artist first and foremost, you know, again, which that's how you did it in the old days, right?
All right. Now, who was, where was the love of music first brought into your life? I mean, who inspired music in your life?
Wow. I think probably if I think about it, it was the first set of albums that I got from my older brother, you know, and mixed in with like the ones my parents gave me. They gave me John Denver and the James Taylors and the Willie Nelsons. Mixed in, my brother gave me Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
Of course.
And,
you know,
those were like the earliest. I grew up playing rock, but loving country and folk and things like that. So it's been a weird but fun way to look at music.
and the Texas music scene kind of lends itself to artists of all different genres kind of come together and kind of make their own genre of music. And how cool is that for the genre to be so wide open, and for the just music in general to be so accepting of different types?
Man, I love it. I think, you know, right now is an amazing time to be a musician or artist and stuff, because back in the day, you know, you had to get a record deal. The hardest thing to do was to record your stuff. You know, you had to record on 2-inch tape and go to a studio, and then you had to distribute your stuff, which only a couple people did, and you needed money and stuff. Now that's all the easiest stuff. You can put your stuff out. I think we got our Spotify thing in the other day, and it said your music was played in 79 countries this year.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a first, you know? So it's a great time to be a musician. It's like, I love it, because you can put yourself out there and you don't really need anybody else to do it but yourself.
And one thing you got to be taught, though, is social media. Social media it drives so much.
It's, again, that's a thing of COVID that I learned, you know, because I'm not a huge social. I mean, I'm on there, but I don't post every day and stuff. But this year I was like, you know, New Elm's going to put some stuff out. We're getting on the radio. We have things kind of going on and people interested in us. It's like, I got to learn how to do this and get better at this and be more consistent. And, you know, really, it's been kind of cool engaging with people. I've heard some of the best music and engaged and, you know, had great conversations and shared music with some amazing artists that this year. I've learned a lot about music this year, and a lot of that was through social media, surprisingly.
Now, how hard was the first Zoom write you ever did?
Oh, this, the like a Zoom call? Like,
yeah,
this?
Have you done any Zoom writing?
Oh, no, I have not done any Zoom writing yet. A little FaceTime sharing, you know, stuff, but no Zoom writing. But I can tell right now, if I put on my readers, I think we could.
That's awesome. Now, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
So which of the socials is the most trying for you?
Probably Twitter. I'm not sure I quite have figured Twitter out yet.
Yeah, that was probably the easiest one, because I think I've been on Twitter since like month two or three that it was even around. So Twitter's the easy one. TikTok, not so much.
Yeah, I'm kind of New Elm is kind of an Instagram band, you know? So,
That's awesome. Yeah. Now I was watching before we came on. I was watching some of the acoustic stuff that you've got on the Vivo and the YouTube pages and all that stuff. And man, I love your sound. I'm excited because man, that's a beautiful guitar you got there on your lap too.
Thank you very much. I just got a repair too. I dropped her on the concrete and cracked the top. And good luthier here in town named Jim Birch actually repaired it for me, resprayed it.
Well, that's awesome. And what were you going to play for us today?
Man, I think I'll play you guys a song I wrote for my wife a couple years back. It's called Green Eyes. Can you hear that?
I can.
Tell me when.
Yeah, we're good. That's good.
Hey there, green eyes, don't cry. Tell me what's on your mind this time. Don't be shy, no, cause I'm not in the mood to fight. Just hold me tight and turn out the lights. Hey there, soft skin, you win again. For sure, we've been down this road once or twice before. So hold on tight and turn out the lights. And I'll wait for a time when we get old hands and grow older together. And I'll search for a place with green grass and blue skies, blue skies. Hey there. Sweet smile, I'm still wild about you. But I know you do what you can to turn this big old bad wolf back into a man. We both know the signs. Well, the moonlight is no friend of mine. So hold on tight and turn out the lights. Just pull down your shutters, girl. Go on. Lock your door and turn out the lights. Lock your door and turn out the lights. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just turn out the lights.
Wow, you've never liked any blues or any of that kind of stuff, have you at all?
No, that one is a little blues too.
Now, who do you attribute your vocal stylings, the inspiration on your vocal styles? Where does that come from for you?
Wow, so many places, from country to, you know, like I love Willie Nelson. I love the inflections, and you know, it's like. And his songwriting, it kind of teaches you a lot. So I'm not saying I sing like Willie or anything, but I love Willie Nelson. I love Ray Charles is one of the greatest singers of all times, you know, rock and roll. I mean, Bon Scott was one of my all time favorites, you know, early AC/DC, you know, so it kind of runs the gambit.
Now, during the during 2020, everybody's had their time to kind of focus, reformat, rethink everything they're doing. What has been the focus for you this year?
Music. releasing music, getting singles out every couple months, trying to put some video content to it, and honestly, just trying to stay healthy and you know, just hope and pray this stuff goes away next year so we can get back to playing some live music. I'd love to get on the road again and start playing with this project.
That's right. Now, who have you been able to lean on this year to keep the sanity? I mean, I know we all got someone we got to lean on, somebody that's always in our corner. Who's that for you?
Yeah, that's my wife. My wife, she's been here for me, always there for me. We've been married 20 years almost. And my dog, Max, been there for me. And you know what? It's really, really helped to kind of talk with my friends, you know, and musical companions, and just, you know, one of us is down one day, you know, somebody will call you and just try to lift you up. So it's been tough, but it's also been good. It's been a learning process. You know, this is a weird one, right?
That's right. Well, Jason, if folks want to find out more information, the new music, upcoming music, and all the releases, everything else, where's the best place for folks to find out?
Google us, please. Just go to Google and put in Bellum. We're the only one. First couple pages, then you'll start getting some Deep Bellum in Dallas, but you'll find everything you need to know on Google.
All right. Well, Jason, it's been great to visit with you, man. Thanks for thanks for sharing the vocals and the strumming, man. That was good stuff, man.
Man, thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it.
All right, guys, our next guest on the podcast and good friend, I would say, Aaron Goodvin. And Aaron, first off, it's good to visit with you once again, and I hope you're having a good start to the holiday season.
Yeah, it's the weirdest year ever, but we're getting through it. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have my parents here, so I've got a little family here in Tennessee, so that really helps. And we've had a lot of time to hang with the dogs and get ready for Christmas. So.
Now, you actually did get out and do a few shows this year. What was that like in the midst of all the craziness that's going on, to actually have the opportunity to actually play a few shows?
Yeah, it's been really. I mean, like, the thing about it is, you know, obviously it's smaller crowds. I consider myself lucky in a way because here in the U.S., I've been able to tour a bunch, and just doing, sorry, my dog's in the background. This is going to be real as possible. She's whining about something. I've been very lucky because I haven't really built my U.S. fan base up to nearly what it is in Canada. And so, you know, when I go out and do a show with just me and my guitar, you know, there's not a lot of, it's not very threatening, you know, it's, you know, 50 to 100 people, and everybody can distance, and everybody feels safe, which is the most important thing.
And while you were out on the road, what was maybe the wildest occurrence that happened while you were out?
Like this last year? Or
yeah, this year.
Might be here for a while.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, what's so interesting to me is just getting. Being able to go to so many different places. I mean, we went from, Oklahoma, you know, to Iowa, to we've been to Alabama, Kentucky. And what's just so funny is, like, in a way, it's just like so many people have different opinions about what COVID is, you know, and I'm sure you get this out there, but it's just, it seems so polarizing to go from to get people's opinions, and not that anybody's right or wrong. I mean, I certainly don't have all the answers. And certainly as, you know, a guy who's applying for naturalization here in the U.S., I'm probably not allowed to have an opinion, nor do I feel justified, but you know, it's such an interesting thing to be able to get people's opinions. We did a show in Iowa, and it was it felt like there was really no social distancing. Wow. You know, so it's just crazy how different places are different things. I mean, I don't know that anything super crazy ever happened. Like I say, the shows have been pretty laid back. But it's been amazing for me to just be out there playing. I think for me, it's my, you know, it's what I love to do. So when I'm not doing it, I get a little testy.
I'm sure your wife could probably attest to that more than anybody,
yeah,
right?
Totally. Absolutely.
Now, she obviously, totally everything being different this year, we've done virtual concerts, Facebook takeovers, all this kind of stuff, and obviously more Zoom meets and meet and greets, things like that. I know you got a show coming up. Is that next Tuesday? Is that the right date?
Yeah, I believe so. The 15th, I believe.
I know it's the 15th. I think that's Tuesday.
Is that Tuesday? I don't know. I don't know what day it is ever. So you can look it up. Is it Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. I just looked it up.
Yeah. Nice. Perfect. Yeah, we're super excited about, we've been able to do quite a few like little virtual things, and it's so tough for my band. I feel for the musicians, the road guys that make their living out there that haven't been able to leave home. And it's just so sad. So what we tried to do as much as possible was try and, you know, get some gigs where, you know, we could pay them so they could come play and do something virtual, and so they can just carry on, you know. Some of my guys have family and little ones at home. And so it's all about being able to support them and then also be able to give some folks a show that, you know, they haven't been able, especially up in Canada, you know, they haven't, we haven't been able to go up there. The last time I was up there was in January, you know, and that's where the core of, you know, my fans are, and they miss seeing me and we miss seeing them. So anything that we can do to just, you know, to just see them even virtually. So.
Now, has this year, songwriting wise, been has it changed your songwriting this year? I guess.
Yeah, I think there's just like a lot less of it, you know. Which sounds crazy, like, you know, before COVID, you know, we just got in a groove of either being gone all the time or writing all the time or just doing something all the time, and then since we, you know, what COVID really did was kept us at home, and I'm, you know, I don't mind the virtual thing, but I'm just totally a person that just likes to be around other people. You know, so for me, it was more challenging to sit down in front of a computer and write a song. So, I have done it, and probably will continue to do it. I think there's some things that are definitely changing. So it's, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I feel like, I don't feel like my writing is like really changed in any way. I just feel like, as I continue to write, I find ways to get better at it. And I don't think I'll ever be, you know, some would consider me a pro songwriter, and I always have this, as Keith Urban said on Dax Shepard's podcast recently, I'm going to steal from him, but he says that he has beginner's mind, which is like, you know, I just always feel like I'm at the start of something, you know. It's never like, I may have skills in that department, but I certainly, you know, I'm certainly always working towards, you know, the bigger, better song and how to, and what, you know, trying to write songs that are going to become hits. Rather than they would be hits now if they were on the radio, you know, it can be an interesting line of work, to say the least.
Now, I know that we share a good friend, songwriter, Shane Minor, and having friends that have been there and done that for as many years, and to be as open as we both know Shane is to helping out. I mean, how much does that help in build your confidence as you're growing as a songwriter as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I, to be honest with you, not that I would consider Shane an older guy. I mean, he's definitely been around for a while, but I don't know that I would call him an older guy, but
no,
I mean, some of my favorite co-writes, yesterday, for some reason, I love writing with the guys that have just been around. They've seen hits come and go. They've had continuous hits, or they haven't had hits in a while, or, and it's, but like, you learn a lot from those guys because they've just been around so much disappointment. You know, they've been around having the song that was it and nobody ever did anything with it, or then they finally did. And like, it's just, there's something for me who's, you know, I've been a staff writer in town for, you know, paid as a songwriter for 7 out of the 10 years that I've lived here. But I still consider myself like a baby, you know. I'm only 7 to 8 years in, you know. So, you know, and I've been here for 10 years, which they say is a 10-year town. But yeah, guys like Shane, I wrote with Tim Owens yesterday, who's just a hoot. He wrote Ticks for Brad Paisley and a bunch of other things, and Settling for Sugarland, and just, he's had hits, and he's such a, it's just so much fun to be around those guys. I learned so much more from them. And for whatever reason, Ed Hill, Jimmy Ritchie are some of my favorite writers. Ed Hill wrote It Matters to Me for Faith Hill. And then has recently had a huge number one on Luke Bryan, Most People Are Good. It's like, how do you have that much success and continue to? So it's so awesome to learn from those guys.
Now I see you leaning up the against that acoustic, and I have to ask what you're gonna strum for us today.
Yeah, I really don't know. I came completely unprepared. We're going to Vegas today, so my mind has been thinking about Vegas.
So you're gonna do an Elvis impersonation. I got you. Okay, sweet.
Yeah. Is there one that you particularly like or would want to hear?
Oh man, whichever one you want to play, man, it's all good.
Cool. My next single in the U.S. is Lonely Drum. So that seemed like the right thing to do. I was actually
going to ask you about that before we came on, and I forgot to. So yeah, you actually picked the one I was hoping you would.
Awesome. I'll play this. This is a song that was platinum for us in Canada's big hit that we had. We closed the show with it. It's crazy what happens when we play it. The whole vibe changes. It's like a fellow artist in Canada who does really well said to me. He's like, that's like a Canadian anthem. So I guess this is a Canadian anthem, but hopefully more than that. Hopefully
there
more
you go.
But it's been a big line dance hit all over the world. It's just crazy. The song's been out for almost 5 years, next year, which is unbelievable. We wrote it 4 years prior to that. It's just the craziest song that just, it's the gift that keeps giving. That's what we'll call it. So this is Lonely Drum. It goes like this.
Hey, I'm all boom, 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 so get in your car,
Don't text and drive, but text me back, all right? You ought to hit the text and go get you some nitro for that motor. And if you find me at your side, I might just do the whole thing. Girl, I'm beating on my lonely drum. Tell me that you're coming over. I'm on boom, boom, boom. Get in your car, make it go.
That was the one you were supposed to play. That was it.
I love it.
I love that song. Now where did that one come from? I mean, where did you get that? Where did that vibe in your life come from?
Well, first of all, the one thing that you have to know about me is before I met my wife, I was really good at getting girls not to come over. Like I was really good. Like I had like some serious skills in that department. And so that backed with I was writing with Skip Black and Cat Gravitt, who I wrote this song with, and we're sitting around and we wrote this song called "Trying to Forget You," which was like this like rip your heart out 80s ballad, you know, want to throw yourself off a cliff type song. And we just finished doing the work tape and for that song, and Kat said, like, Kat's super excitable. And she's like, man, I love this song because it just beats on that lonely drum. And I was like, what? Like, I just never heard it. And for whatever reason, that day it hit me a certain way. And I was like, what'd you say? It's like, it beats on that lonely drum. And I was like, I want to write that. And I just, I beat on a lonely drum, girl, don't you want to come over? And, you know, knowing my skills of not getting girls to come over, it all just kind of fell together. I mean, I think we wrote it in less than an hour, and we're starting to demo it. And those are always the ones that are just crazy hits. And well, I mean, for me, I can't speak for everybody, you know? I mean, it was crazy for me, but like those songs seem to be really special, the ones that kind of fall from the sky and just spill out like that. So.
Now, how much have you had to fine tune your social media and technology skills this year?
Unbelievably. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. Like, it's so crazy. When I was growing up, I think I was so in love with the idea of being an artist. And I was always like allured by like, what do these stars do behind the scenes? Like what are they doing? And then I sort of became a little bit of one, maybe. I mean, some people would call me a star in Canada for sure. And the crazy thing about it is I'm like, oh, I know exactly what they're doing. Nothing. Like the same thing that everybody else does or whatever, you know, but my idea of what they were doing was a lot cooler than probably what they're actually doing. And I think social media has kind of brought all that to light, and people love seeing, you know, I post pictures of my dogs and they go through the roof. They love seeing my real life, which is awesome, but it also leaves very, very little time for just me and my wife to hang out without having to make something out of it, you know? So I kind of jump back and forth by being a huge fan and using it as a tool of social media and doing that. And then I do the other thing where it's like, I don't even want to turn my phone on. I just want to like leave it and I don't want to have to look at it. And so, you know, it's about finding a balance, which I'm not sure I've done yet.
Now, have you subscribed to the TikTok phase? Have you gotten into that?
I'm on it. I've done some things on it. I don't really understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I have caught myself like just standing there watching TikTok videos for 30 minutes. Well, what am I doing? Like, it just kind of sucks you in. But, you know, I think everything, man, I don't know. I think everything has its place. There's people that think that I'd be really good at TikTok if I would just let loose and do it. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'll let you know when I know.
There you go. Yeah. It'll blow up and we'll all know.
Yeah. Or that. Or you already know.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, Lindsay, she'll share it over to me and I'll be like, well, he did it. He finally did it.
Yeah. I know. And for whatever reason, it's the wives that watch that stuff.
See, she waited. She waited forever because my daughter was telling me, she goes, Dad, you got to, especially with having a podcast, you at least need to be on there. Whether you do. And so I posted some stuff of our dogs. I mean, we got plenty of dogs. We got plenty of stuff to post there. So
that's
I did
right.
a couple.
I remember us talking about.
Yeah, I did a few of those, and then I just started doing little like slideshows for the podcast. Right. Is about it. But yeah, then Lindsay, she finally, I was able to talk her into it, and now in the evening when she goes for her alone time before bed, then I started getting TikTok videos. Lindsay's sending me TikTok, so yeah, I converted her and now she's blowing me up with it.
Yeah, it's crazy. My wife does the same thing. She'll just be sitting in bed and just be watching TikTok videos till the morning light. It feels like
right? That's good stuff. Now, Aaron, I know you're getting ready to hit the road for a show. What else you got going before the new year and newly into the new year?
Yeah, we right now we're kind of right in the middle of picking songs for the next record, and since my last record, it's been a few years. I put out V, and so we've got a whole handful of songs, and we're trying to be open to new ways to get music out. My wife said to me this morning, Taylor Swift's got another record coming out, and I'm like, I'm falling behind. I need to get some music out, but because like I'm sure that last record was out for maybe 6 months. I don't know what it was, but so I'm like. Ah. But yeah, we're really focused on getting Lonely Drum out. That's a big kind of focus for us, here in the US. And then we, just going to play as much as I can. I mean, like I've been doing, I'm doing a couple acoustic shows this weekend. I might have a few more before the end of the year. And then obviously going into the new year, we're just trying to keep a real good track of like how the whole vaccine is going to, whether people are going to take it or not. And then if we're actually going to, be able to go out there on the road, I hope people do. I hope they, and so we can get back to work. But, obviously I don't know anything about that field and what's going on there. So all I know is that I want to get out there and play music for people. And that's kind of the main goal. And the rest is all just kind of lipstick and rouge. So.
Well, I'm always trying to find a highlight from 2020 from people. And the highlight I'm going to ask from you is what song from 2020 by yourself, by another artist or whatever, say you're driving down the interstate in Nashville, you're by yourself, windows are up. What song do you want playing on the radio that you're going to scream at the top of your lungs?
I freaking love, there's two. I love Eric Church's new thing, Hell of a View.
Yeah.
Freaking love it. The melody is just excites me. And then I'm totally there. Well, there might be three. I love the Sam Hunt, Hard to Forget, which I'm not a huge Sam Hunt fan in general, but that song for whatever reason.
That's a great one.
And then I think it's Seven Summers Ago, Morgan Wallen. I mean, everybody loves Morgan Wallen, but. That melody is, I'm a melody guy. Like I love melodies. Like I'm also a lyric guy, but I'm a sucker for melodies. If there's a great melody, I'm like all over it. So those, I would say those are probably the ones that I get pumped about.
Now, what is the hardest part, of finalization of a song write for you? Is it final editing or is it, thinking that you have the final thought, down on paper?
Well, I'm actually kind of the worst when it comes to finishing songs. I kind of subscribe to this idea at a very young age, which is total perfection thinking. And don't worry, I'm talking to my therapist about it. I have this perfectionism thing. And so I never have this feeling where like, oh, this song is done. You know, I'm always like, oh, there could be something else we could do here, something else we could do that. Obviously, you know, there comes a time where it's like, we got to just demo it the way it is and put it out and see what happens. But it's a thing like for me where I'm constantly like, I don't know if this song's finished. And I could have both my co-writers going like, dude, this is really great. Like, stop trying to change shit, you know, and stop trying to make it better and just be okay with it. So I'm working on that. But yeah, there's usually when it's demoed and then I can listen to it and go, okay, I'm happy and kind of move on to the next thing. So demoing is the big thing for me, which is if I can ever get songs to that point, they've come a long way.
That's good. Well, Aaron, as always, want to make sure and let our listeners know where to find a website, upcoming tour dates, social media, all that as well.
Yeah. If you go to my website, you can kind of get to everything and whatever social platform you like to use. I know some people are Instagrammers, some people are Facebookers, and some people are Twitter people, but it's Aaron Goodvin. So it's GoodvinAaron. And AaronGoodvin.com. You'll find all that stuff, tour dates and all that fun stuff. You can, subscribe to the newsletter. And, also we have a really cool thing that we started during COVID, which is, called fanthejam.com, which is my online fan club, which I absolutely love because over the years I've been a writer, I've just stockpiled songs. Fan the Jam is a way for me to share those songs with my, you know, hardcore fans that want to hear more than, this is a really cool way to do that. So we give them a song every month. And then plus there's lots of other, exclusive content and deals on merch and kind of inside looks on certain things before anybody else, that kind of stuff. So it's a really cool thing that we've started. And we've got an amazing group of people in there, and we just have so much fun with it. So,
well, that's cool. Well, Aaron, always great to visit with you, man. One of the good guys out there.
Ah, well, just trying. I can't wait to come back, man.
I look forward to it as well, and I'm shocked with as many animals as we have between the two of us that we got away as quietly as we did.
Amen to that.
Well, Aaron, thanks for being on the show, brother, and
thanks,
look forward to talking again soon.
Yes, sir. Really appreciate you.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Gonna let our good friend Brandon Allen play us out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Thursday evening. We'll be back with episode 68, wrapping up the week tomorrow.